Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a little trade review. And I'll say there's some players here that I'm really interested to get into some of the valuations on because lots of changing stuff. I think the market might be overreacting to some stuff. So it'll be interesting to see where some player value lies. I think a notable one to start, Zeke Elliott. And what do we think on Zeke? Where is he at? Just in terms of laying the context for him to date, this is about as good of a start to a career as you can get for a running back. I'll just say that, right? I mean, in terms of his track record, it is pretty remarkable. He stayed healthy. He has stayed largely available outside of the suspension there that he had a couple years ago. It's been an excellent start, and you know, that's the thing I think we need to keep in mind. He will be 26 years old, so that forms a basis for maybe some of this some of this value reduction. But running back 2, 12, 5, 3. And then he finished out the 2020 season at running back 9 on the season in terms of total points. He was running back 16 in terms of points per game. Again, there's a couple guys that played a couple of games and then boosted over him. So just keep that stat there in mind. And you know, when you look at it, I think a lot of it came down to Dak Prescott. So I think that does matter. Is the threshold thing? I mean, their offense was really good, and then they started Ben DiNucci, right? And so, you know, no offense to Ben DiNucci, but that's not Dak Prescott. So, in terms of expected yards, so a couple of things that can really go into this. We can look at some of the advanced stuff and think about really what he did with what he had, essentially. So in terms of expected yards, according to Next Gen Stats, he expected 3.93 yards per carry. That's 42nd out of 55 qualifiers, so bottom 13 there in terms of that stat. So it's about bottom quarter. He was 38th in terms of rushing yards over expectation. So again, but that's more of the skill-based stat, right? So expected yards is really the situation you were dealt, and rushing yards over expectation is really your performance. One thing I would say about that stat, a lot of it has to do with about 55% of that is explained by yards after contact, right? So yeah, if you are reading, I think this is an important thing to keep in mind. If the complement of a running back is to have really great vision, that accounts for less than half of what they're going to do above expectation. So you do have to run through tackles, break tackles, and those sorts of things. So yards after contact is critical to the position. So that's just, a big picture there to look at. So in terms of yards, in terms of yards after contact, he was 30th, right? So again, it's on his actual performance, a little bit lackluster. Now, is some of that, I'm not going to sort of play psychologist, but is some of that, a factor of what they, of where they were in terms of their season? I'm not sure. Was he banged up? I don't know. I think there's questions there. But there has been some criticism of Zeke in the past that he's not this hugely efficient running back, that it's just a lot more volume. And when you look at, some of the guys up at the top of the position, like Hunt and Henry, like they've consistently outproduced him in terms of yards after contact. I will say he was up there last year in terms of 2020 numbers. He had 3.23 yards after contact. So this is about 0.4 worse. So if you sort of take that up and then he looks like, 4.5 yards per attempt guy, right? And you get a little bit of bounce back, right? He can all of a sudden look pretty easily back towards a high fours average runner. So that would just be my overall thought with him. Again, he'll be 26 coming off five straight top 12 seasonal finishes. So that's pretty pretty exciting there in terms of the overall profile. In terms of some of the trade stuff, I will say I think he's going to be a value. And in terms of the trade stuff, I mean, some of these things are just pretty crazy. So Zeke and a fourth for Chase Claypool. There's an unknown asset in there. It's probably some blind bidding dollars, knowing the format. So, you know, that's pretty eye-opening. DJ Shark and Deebo Samuel for Zeke Elliott. Michael Thomas and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Talk about just buying falling assets. I mean, that is criminal. That's criminal. Superflex, a first and a second this year for Aaron Rodgers, Zeke, and a second in 2022. Again, unless that's 101, which it might be. If that's the case, if it's like 101, I guess I see that. It's still, right, I would pretty clearly take the pretty clearly take the opposite side of that with the Zeke and Rodgers side of that deal. And it does appear it was 101. So it looks like it's Lawrence for Rodgers and Zeke there. So yeah, I would take the Rodgers and Zeke side there still pretty comfortably. Yeah, so that's that. And then, okay, so Zeke and TJ Hockenson, and that was Superflex, by the way. Zeke and Hockenson for Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, Cole Beasley, and Cortland Sutton. Again, I don't know how people are doing these trades. That is straight up tight end, normal tight end scoring. So that's, I mean, again, the key here is buy. Yeah, it's not a ton of volume is the flip side of it. Maybe it's earlier in the season when we were doing a lot of these last year. We were thinking about players and very specific, in very specific high volume windows, which was in August. We were getting, two trades a day. We're not on that pace right now. So just keep that in mind from a strategic aspect. Zeke, a Hunter Renfrow, and a fourth. For a first, a third, a fifth, and a sixth, that is in Superflex, and the pick is 112. So again, just pretty eye opening here. If you just want to let people bail, right? I'm doing basically all of these deals. I would take him over any incoming rookie outside of. I guess I can see the argument for quarterback over him, but in terms of any skill positions, right, I would take him. So if you're getting a late first on that, absolutely 100% we're doing that. Then we're getting Marquise Brown for a first and a fourth. Again, that is super flex. It looks like it's like 104, 103, 104, something in that range. So, yeah, again, I think the first round pick, I get what people are doing, but in terms of the hit rates, if you're looking at second round running backs, like you're smashing Zeke over those guys. And that's really my takeaway is I think that he's probably pretty appropriately valued. In terms of his startup valuation, he is running back 13. This is the cheapest he's ever been in all of dynasties. Running back 13, 22.17 overall. That's his ADP. That's start one. So think third, fourth round in terms of Superflex. Like he's probably going to be a fourth round startup pick in Superflex, given how many quarterbacks are going off the board. If you're in that range, I mean, that is as a running back one, that's pretty appealing there for me would be my thought on that. So yeah, I think the value's there. Definitely go look to acquire him would be the take. Alexander Mattison in a first for Zeke. The first looks like it's the middle of the round. So again, that is settling in there. I don't love giving up the trade liquidity. I tend to find one of my better skills is trading back in rookie drafts. I just tend to be, I think, better at it than most anything else. I tend to get a lot of value out of that. And so that's just one thing I would say that would be the drawback for me in terms of doing this type of deal. So maybe look from a player perspective, you know, give multiple seconds, give a player, give, you know, try and do those. But I think that later first looks like it's pretty giveable. And when you stack it up in terms of startup valuation, I think that's pretty, right on. So one other one that I saw here is actually looks like it's 104 and start one. And it is Zeke for Damian Harris. Zeke and Damian Harris for 104. So again, you know, we can maybe doubt that's a 14 teamer. So Damian Harris is a little bit more value in there as well. So it seems like it's a pretty good buyer's market if you're willing to sort of get in there for Zeke. I'll look at some arbitrage opportunities. I don't really see many in here when I'm looking at these trades. That's one thing I think it'd be interesting to sort of peruse and think about. I haven't seen many. So, you know, there's one with Derrick Henry, but it's very complicated. Saquon Barkley for Zeke and Austin Hooper. That was actually a while ago. So I think that's a possibility, is certainly one. I haven't seen a ton of them. Yeah, they're not really structured that way. So maybe that's actually an avenue to explore. Right, is to try that and to see if you can trade a spread between, you know, I don't know, can you trade Jonathan Taylor for Zeke in a first? Right, what's that first look like? That's pretty interesting. You know, you might even be able to get more than that, right? So if you think it's a, you know, if Jonathan Taylor was a first round startup pick and Zeke's a third, just think of if you were to do that in a startup, would you just take that for a future first? Probably not. You could probably get a bigger piece than that. So just thinking about those things, that's a pretty interesting opportunity to explore. Again, you're giving away years, but picking up additional assets, the profiles look similar in the next couple of years or so. It's probably a falling valuation thing with Zeke. Any top 24 season he puts up at this point, basically you're mortgaging about a round of startup valuation is the way to think of it. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.